So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Starting the show off with a little snazzy music for you.
A little what?
A little snazzy music.
A little snazzy music?
Yes.
All right, that's cool.
It's a little funky tonight.
That's cool. All right, Doc. Well, we got Terry Taylor right at the top of the show. Bruce Mitchell's on board with Hot Topic. And are we going to do any news before we get to Terry?
No, we'll save the news a little bit later.
All right, so we're going to get right into Terry Taylor, right?
We'll get right into Terry Taylor. Let's talk about the main thing first. Let's talk about the main news thing, and then we'll get on with the show.
All right.
The main news this week, of course, is TNA moving to prime time. They're going to be on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, which is just like an hour from now.
Yeah, starting April the 13th.
Right.
So, and then at that point... We moved to 7 o'clock.
We moved
right?
to 9 yes.
o'clock to where the lead in.
We move
oh,
an hour
God,
early.
This is musical talk shows.
Yeah. But we'll have a good spot. We'll be leading into TNA.
We should give a prize to anybody who can find us. For the first listener that writes the correct day and time that we're going to be on two consecutive weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. Knows.
Whatever. Yeah, they're, well, you know, it's something we talked to Terry about, of course, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a step up. They can expect an increase in ratings just by the time change, which is good. Of course, the major thing is, you know, is not just to get indoctrinate new people, but to keep them.
Yes.
You know, and I don't, you know, you know, that's part of the test, too. You know, and there's a lot of great kids, young kids here, untested, you know, that, I mean, that you can say these guys are the stars of the future. Well, here's a chance to find out.
Exactly.
You know, but a part of that is not them. A part of that's the guys writing this stuff, you know, the creative committee, which is true. You know, you can take the best talent in the world and put them in the wrong environment, and it won't be as effective, you know. And so, I mean, you could take triathletes. I'm just drawing mythical names, you know, a match out here, but say Shawn Michaels against Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
In the wrong environment, it's not going to draw, you know, at its capacity. You know, it's so, and with somebody with less experience to make things happen when they're not happening, you know. And that's the other part, too, seasoning. That's something nobody ever takes into account and really never talks about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something, again, we can talk to Terry about. But, yeah, TNA, April the 13th, Thursday night, start 9 to 10 p.m.
It's going to be good. We'll probably get into that a little bit more later, too, because
yeah.
It's probably going to be the hot topic. We've, got Terry Taylor on the show tonight,
right.
And he's going to be doing this. Now, we did have another guest.
Yes.
That was supposed to be scheduled for tonight. But
they gave him the wrong dates or something, right?
But Doc Young. No, well, actually, that was Eric Young.
Yes.
And he will be on next week.
Is that your son or?
No, he's my cousin.
Your cousin. Oh,
yes.
All right.
No.
Your Canadian cousin, right?
Yeah. No relation to Eric
cool.
Young, even though that is my middle and my last name. That's weird.
Okay.
I had to tell him that, too.
Well, this is Doc Young we're talking about.
Yes. Doc Eric Young.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is my cool name.
We're going to have the Eric Young on next week, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And
I know we're going to be having Bill Watts on. Mm-hmm. And his autobiography's due out this week or next.
That's going to be, oh, man, that's going to be such a great show. Bill Watts, man. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to be marking out.
I just saw Bill back in, well, Terry was there, as a matter of fact, back in October. We were out in Tulsa for a show, and he came by and chatted with us in the evening.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Bill Watts. Wow.
Wow.
Right here on Wrestling Weekly. I can't wait for that, really.
Right.
I can't
Mark
wait to give him a call. I'm marking out, like right on the air right now.
All right.
Just marking out. We're going to take a break real quick, guys, and we're going to get Terry Taylor on the line. He's going to be doing a lengthy interview with us tonight. He to make up for the fact that he can't come on in the second hour. And we'll get to that in a little while.
All right.
But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Terry Taylor here on Wrestling Weekly. Guys, stick around. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trey Dog here with my tag team partner,
JSK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out a brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record man's home, so you'll never get it on the radio. Well, I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest is he's making an early appearance on the show tonight. It's TNA's Terry Taylor. Terry, I want to thank you for being on Wrestling Weekly.
Well, I appreciate you guys slumming it and letting me on.
Come on. Don't do the poor me thing. Come on.
It doesn't work at home either.
And you work out. You call the shots in the truck. You behind the scenes reporter.
Trying to cop some brews.
America's Most Wanted beer, and I said, yeah, that's in character. Try to get a free drink.
Sure. Yeah, well, they caught me, too, so I'm slipping. I'm getting old. 20 years ago, I'd have walked out of there, and they'd have never known it.
We were just saying at the top of the show before you came on, of course, and we might as well get into this right away. TNA, of course, moving to Thursday night in the 9 o'clock slot. And everybody must be excited about that.
We're thrilled. It's something that we've all wanted for, golly, I mean, when we were doing the Fox Sports, we thought that was good. And then, you know, we got the Saturday night gig with Spike, and they've been very good to us. And I guess we've been good for them, too. And they're giving us the Thursday night. So yeah, it's exciting.
I said, obviously, just by virtue of the time change and the slots you're going into, you're going to pick up some audience. And, of course, the deal is to grow on that and keep them coming back. I was thinking, you know, thinking about you being on tonight, too. You and I, to think about this as if we were the young guys getting this shot. And I said to Doc earlier, I said, there's a lot of talent down there that we've all said, these guys are the stars of the futures. And now it's kind of, hey, you've talked the talk, now I see you walk the walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And plus, obviously, it's how creative handles those people. But, there's a lot of things more than just moving into the time slot that's going to make it work is my point.
Yeah, that's it's funny because we were talking earlier about, you know, the seminar we're doing next weekend, and we talked about promoting, you know, getting the word out.
Right.
And just people watch more TV on Thursday nights than they do on Saturday nights. You know, on the weekends, people got, you know, the 18 to 34-year-old male is out and about. So being on Thursday during the week when people are at home, it's exciting. I think it's going to be very, very good. And, yeah, there's a built-in audience because, believe it or not, there's some people that will still be looking for SmackDown on Thursday.
Sure.
I know that sounds stupid, but the casual fan will be looking again. There will be.
Well, you know, remember back in the day, some town, let's pick, I'm going to say Columbia, South Carolina, for example, you could be in Township Center on Tuesday night, and Henry Margus could announce 40 times that we're over at University of South Carolina Fieldhouse next week for a big show, and yet the following week after the big show at South Carolina, you go back to Township Hall and they say, well, where were you last week?
Yep.
I mean, so you've got to pound it into their head. Point is, you've got to pound it into their heads, and over a period of time, it's going to take some time to make the transition for everybody.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a good transition, not one of those ones where we've been moved out of a good spot to a bad.
Yeah.
So it's a time where all of us are really seeking and grateful for this opportunity and seeking to make the best of it.
And you know, I said this in a column I wrote the other day, but I don't know who all's involved in the backstage or in the staff that doesn't wrestle. But I pointed out you and Dutch both have worked in this 1 hour time, and this is at a point. I'm not trying to make the whole business turn around and go back 30 years, but in that context, you've got an hour. You've got to make the best of it. And
yes,
you go back and look at how 99%, almost every territory, with the exception of Atlanta, had only an hour, right?
Right.
And we were able to, but it's, you can't just jam 10 pounds into that five-pound bag. I'm afraid at any time slot, that's not going to equate into bringing people back on a steady basis.
Yeah, I liken the talent's work rate, which I love them, and I appreciate how hard they work. And there were times when you and I would work with people, and they were younger than us, and they would say, they're not chanting, let's do more.
Right.
And that's when you slow down and you do less. And it's almost like that's got to happen TV-wise, too. And we all know it. I mean, everybody knows that if you're introduced to 50 people in an hour, you're going to remember two or three.
Sure.
If you're introduced to five or six, you're going to remember most of them, and that goes with wrestling characters, too. We've got some great guys, and we're going to make it entertaining.
You do know that you're going head-to-head with SmackDown at Canada, right?
Of course I knew that. I'm a wrestling aficionado. In other words, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Three Stooges in Tokyo. And
they're the original pro wrestlers. If you think about it, they poke right. each other in the eye and not sell it.
Exactly.
Punch each other in the face and not sell it. Yeah, it's just like wrestling now.
Yeah.
Hey, Mo! No, it doesn't matter. I really think that anybody that I welcome competition because I was at the first Raw when they did it in 1990 or 91, whatever it was. I was at the first Nitro, first SmackDown, first Thunder, all of that stuff. So I think that the wrestling fan deserves an opportunity to make a choice.
Mm.
And I think the choice is if they're good, then the people, you know, it brings out the best in both companies.
And, of course, you're confident that they'll choose TNA.
No, I'm not confident. I'm confident that we'll give them every reason in the world that they should.
Yeah.
But people choose what they want.
Yeah.
And I think Terry will agree with me, Doc. When you get that feeling that, boy, all we can do anything, that's when you fall right flat on your face. Isn't that right?
Yeah, when you lose touch with what the audience wants to see because you know better than the audience, which I think, and I don't mean to be negative, I think that's what's going on with WWE right now. They're giving people what they want to give them, not what the people are requesting or demanding.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to pick on them, but I used to be a huge wrestling fan, and I used to watch everything, and I don't watch this stuff anymore. And I don't think that's an indictment on me. I think that's more of an indictment of what they're serving up. I want to be entertained, and I want to watch. And I just am not, I'm not led to watch what they're giving up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their numbers show that. I think they're out of touch.
Yeah, I have taken over the last several months, and I DVR it, read the reviews on Tuesday morning, and then fast forward to the, if it's Michaels against Benoit, or you know what I'm saying, the matches. And then on through the other stuff. I mean, oh, I'll stop and look just out of curiosity. But, yeah, I don't sit and watch the whole show anymore. Because it's just, you know.
It's hard. I mean, let's be honest. It's hard to sit there for 2 hours and watch it.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't mean to be negative.
Make common sense out of, I mean, like, JBL having to job to the boogeyman in a minute and a half. I mean, he's a big, it's big of him to do it. Yeah, but why? Here's a guy that held your title longer than anybody, you know, had in a while. And the guy stepped up and he did a credible job. You know, and this guy, I mean, the boogeyman does a great character, if that's what you're looking for, but, you know, you can't kill your top talent with him. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
There was a time when guys in the WWE, like Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis and all those guys that they put characters on, Akeem, which was One Man Gang, and
sure.
All those guys, they had characters, but the one thing they all had in common is they could work.
Yeah.
They could wrestle. And the character was just an accent on their ability to, you know, make you draw you in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Now all they've got is characters.
Yeah.
It's sizzle with very little steak. The guys that I'll watch is like what Les said. I enjoy watching Triple H because he knows how to get a match out of anybody. Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle. I mean, they're probably forgetting somebody, but, you know, Edge is getting up into that group. But there's three or four guys that I'll watch, and the rest of them, maybe. Depends on if the internet says it's real good.
I want to ask you a question about. We're going to get to some questions in the chat room, of course, a little bit later. But right now, I wanted to ask you a question about the MTV promotion that's coming out right now. There was a rumor going around, and I do want to address it, that you were supposed to be part of that and work backstage, but that you were stopped from doing that. Is any of that true?
That's nobody's business.
Okay.
Sorry, but that's I work for TNA, and as an independent contractor,
mm-hmm.
It was brought to my attention by the company that I believe in and that I want to work for the rest of my career, that I should probably, you know, not be working with a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
If right now they're not a competitor, and it was put in a very nice way.
That's
and
right.
And the choice was mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have stayed, but I chose not to because my loyalty is to TNA. I very much wish for the MTV people to do well and for there to be another place for the wrestlers to work and another outlet for the fans to watch. But my loyalty is going to be to TNA, you know, as long as I work there, which I hope is till the end of my career in 6 months or whatever it is.
Let me say, for those listening or will be listening to this later, that I don't know how anybody takes, but what Terry's saying is in plain, we are hired guns.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, to that is part of it, being loyal to the people that you work for. Which doesn't mean that you agree 100% of the time, or, you know, which is like with any job. But the point is that your loyalty is there. That's who's paying you until otherwise notified.
Right.
And so that's, you know, he's just being straight up, and that's the way it should be.
And I really enjoy working at TNA. I do. It's just, it's 99% stress-free. I mean, I know what my job is. I know the people there. They know what their job is, and we all get along.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drama. There's no, you know, drama queens. There's no temper tantrums. The talent understands that this is an opportunity. You know, these guys don't make enough to live on. They have to do other stuff. So they need the exposure on Spike to fuel their other bookings. And it's a great situation. They work hard for us. It makes us better, and it gives the audience something good to watch. And I'm grateful and proud and whatever else to be a part of TNA, because I really believe that we have the best young, hungry talent in the world. And when I think we can't hire any more people, we do. And I'm happy because it gives them all an opportunity. Because, you know, 20 years ago when Les broke in, 20 years ago, and 26 years ago when I broke in,
yeah.
Somebody gave me an opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what changed my life.
Right.
Maybe we can do something good for some of these young kids.
Speaking of ruin their lives like our lives were ruined.
ruined. Think of all the lives we've ruined.
Yes, exactly.
Starting with our wives and family.
Yes.
Moving on.
Speaking of all this sort of thing, Doc, let me just say, Terry mentioned it earlier. We are doing a 3-day training camp, the 17th, 18th, and 19th of this month.
Right.
And we're doing, actually, this is conjunction New Generation Wrestling, Elite Pro Wrestling Training, and High Spots. But anyway, it's a 3-day deal. We're going to do it 3 other times this year. I'm going to do it in May and August and November. Terry's going to be there all 3 days, as is Dr. Tom and myself. And Tracy Smothers is going to help out. And if you didn't know, Tracy was actually on worked for WWE in the Memphis training facility at one time and was to help train at ECW. But anyway, and on Friday only, because it's near his home and it fits in his schedule, Ricky Steamboat is going to be with us. So,
yay.
About 175 years of professional wrestling experience. And it's we've got people coming in from Denver, Boston, Vegas, a couple promoters that wrestle, about a half dozen lady wrestlers. I mean, you know, it's just, anyway, 3-day seminar, a show on Friday and Saturday night with Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, Lightning Express, Express Night. And
it's going to be a lot of train tracks running through that building.
You can get all the information off the front page of our Elite Pro Wrestling Training .com, EPWT.com, or NGWMatt@Yahoo.com. But I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time. And seriously, Terry, we got a hell of a turnout for this one. It's going to be good.
I'm grateful. I'm glad to hear that, because we were talking earlier, and I was, you know, you get doing one of these things, it's just so much better to have a bunch of eager people there than to sit there and look at each other and go, okay, well, they're going to be here any minute now.
This
is fun.
And I want to mention, for anybody that's an independent wrestler that's listening, there are going to be some guys there that I won't mention names, because sometimes they don't show up and it'll be a no-show, and somebody will make a big deal. But anyway, guys who work for Ring of Honor, guys who work for Wildside, guys who have had dark matches with WWE, maybe TNA, I'm not sure about all of them, but anyway, some high-level independent guys are coming to this thing. So, you know, it's not like just for beginners. Well, like I say, with that crew, I feel safe to say that if you come unless you've been in the business over 100 years, that you won't go away in 3 days without learning something new or taking a different outlook on the wrestling business.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room, Ben Turpin, wants to know if you're training ring announcers, too, over there.
You know what? We were just talking about that before we went on the air. I have done, with a couple of these independent promotions that we've done camps at, I have sat in with their commentators and worked with them. We don't really have a facility set up to do such, you know. But if he lives in that area, he might contact Matt. Matt's always looking for, good ring announcers. And in fact, you know, he's trying to get somebody, I think, steady for most of his shows.
Oh, he's looking for good ring announcers? Well,
yeah.
That leaves me out.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever.
Hey, wait a minute. Let us say that. Don't you beat us to it. Rob us of the fun.
Hey, Terry, we're going to have Bill Watts on here in a couple weeks, Doc. Okay.
Cool.
And, his book's coming out now. Are you going to be in that book? You got to be, right?
I would think so.
I would hope.
Yeah, I mean, Bill was a very big part of my life. I hadn't seen him since I'd left the UWF territory, 7, 8 years? Well, probably 18 years. I hadn't seen him he came into WCW and fired me almost immediately. So I really didn't see him that much. So I saw him about 2 years ago, and because we worked so hard and because we had really no idea what we were a part of at the time, I was kind of resentful of some of the work and how much we'd get paid, and I complained some. But then when I hear people say that period of wrestling is their favorite and that we might have actually made a difference in wrestling history, I thank them for letting me be a part of it.
Yeah.
Because when you work so hard and you do so, you don't know what you're part of because you're just doing the best you can, from town to town.
Well, when you came in, maybe it changed a little, but not much. But, I mean, pretty much, young guys were, the veterans were hard asses with them. I mean, just put it plain and simple. That's just the way it was, right?
Yeah, I've been jacked up pretty good by guys, but it was never because I didn't deserve it. Honestly, I mean, I had older, they never hurt me. But if I didn't listen, or if I tried to take a little more control or initiate something I shouldn't have, they were not afraid, to drop the bomb on me and let me remind me who was the veteran and who was the rookie.
Yeah.
And I look back on that, and I'm grateful, because that's the stuff actually that taught me the most. Bill Watts punched me in the stomach as hard as he could once. I was in the corner getting beat up, and I had my arms up on the ropes.
Yeah.
And that's the phoniest looking thing in the business, is to get punched in the face and hang onto those two ropes. And people, and the boys in the business think that, this is great, I'm opening up and I'm letting the guy hit me and the people get with it. Well, the people are the ones that aren't stupid or fooled by that. It can't be real if a guy punches you in the face and you never let go of those ropes. So I had done that, and Watts pulled me back to the back. He put me back in this corner. It was concrete walls on either side, 90 degrees. And he said, "How did you sell in the corner?" And I put my hands up like I was holding the top rope, and I was, just selling to my heart's content. He drew back at 330 pounds and punched me right in the stomach as hard as he could. And, I just deflated and sagged into that rope, into the walls. And he said, "That's how you should sell on the corner, kid." And that's how I did it. I learned.
Man, and that's Bill Watts' soft side right there.
Yeah. Unless he just hit me once.
Doc, I'm going to tell you what. We were talking about this at that wrestle reunion down in Tampa. Corny and Bill were up on the stage, but Terry could tell you what was it, $50 if you walked in the dressing room late?
They weren't $100.
$100?
Yeah, $100. Yeah, $100, fine.
Now, when Gordon Solie and I were doing the TV in Atlanta, 73, part of 73 and 74, and Bill was there and helping run the thing, we could not say the word show. It was welcome to Georgia Championship Wrestling on the program today. Never show. Show cost us $50.
Wow.
Yes. But you know what? That's all right.
I agree with that.
It actually made you a better performer, did it not, Terry?
Yeah. It really, you know what? Bill Watts, he made it a job.
Yeah.
He made me professional. The whole world treated me like I was something better than I was, and wrestling's not real. I mean, I didn't beat anybody for real. I could Nikolai Volkoff could sneeze on me and bruise me up. I mean, I couldn't, and he put me over every night for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I know wrestling's not real. And I'd get a little full of myself, and Bill would reach into my pocket and take out $100 or $200 because I was Terry Taylor, and I could show up when I wanted. You know what? No, I couldn't. But rules applied to everybody.
Right.
And that's one thing that keeps the locker room, you know, believe it or not, happy, because he didn't show favoritism, and if you were late, you knew what it was going to cost you, and everybody paid.
Yeah.
It was a job, and everybody counted on everybody else. If I didn't show up on time or if I didn't do right, it affected everybody else's money, not just mine.
I'll tell you what I really it was dynamic when I look back. I guess that's a good word. When I was there in the office during that period that Soleil and I were doing it, I was doing the TV. There was Garibaldi and Watts and Buddy Fuller. Well, which Buddy wasn't there that often, but there was so much energy in creating, because to me, I mean, Leo was the best booker I ever worked for, and Bill had a sharp mind in terms of doing logical angles and stuff to make things work. But I just sit there. I really got into just them, you know, it was one trying to outdo the other, one ego getting the jump on the other. But it was a learning period for me, and it was really fun too.
Yeah, that old. I have so many people come up to me and go, I want to be a booker or a television writer.
No, you
and
don't.
They're fans, and I appreciate that. But they have no idea what it takes to write a television show, to get a 270-pound jacked-up guy to do something he doesn't want to do. I mean, honestly, how many times have you heard Les? You know, you'd need somebody. It was the right thing for business. They didn't want to do it.
Right.
And that's what you had to have. So you have to figure out how to get people to do what they don't want to do.
Yes.
And that's the biggest. I think creating is a small part of booking, because you don't get a chance to create. You have to. You know, a lot of it's damage control.
Yes.
It's too bad. I mean, it's sometimes like TNA. We're really pretty lucky, and not lucky. The business is done right. The guys do what they're asked. Occasionally, we get a few guys that say why. Not very much. And if we can't tell them why, not that we have to, because it's like, you know, they shoot movies out of sequence, so the actors don't start directing too.
Right.
You know, they're saying, here are your lines for today. Please do them this way. And that way, you know, they shoot it out of context so that the actors don't know, what's going on, so they just do what they're asked to do, and the director gets what he wants. We don't get that, you know, that luxury. We have to go in sequence because it's a TV show. But I'll tell you, we're lucky, and we have great talent that really does well. They almost sometimes you got to rein them in. They almost do too. You know, they almost overdo it.
Yeah, you got some good young stallions. You really do.
Yeah, we do.
And I'll tell you, I've said this to Doc. I said, if handled right, Samoa Joe is. I'm not
the future of our business.
Steve Austin, sort of.
Yeah, he's the future of our business.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, when. They told me to go, you know, and I'm the one to talk to him about coming in. And if you don't think this guy's got a wonderful character, I mean, he didn't even know if we were going to have a TV when he decided to come here
right. Instead
of go to WWE. And he took a chance because he did feel like he'd be a better fit.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody in the world could say that he's not. I mean, he's, if we were going to say a prototype, you know, TNA guy, to me, he's the one. He's just, I don't care if he's not jacked. It's better that he's not.
I don't know anybody who would disagree with that. Everybody I know, everybody I've talked to, says Samoa Joe's the next big thing.
But you know what overcomes the physical, the lack of the great physical presence is
his work.
Yes, and his psychology. And that's the thing that impressed me at what he's 25. Right, or I think that's right.
Something silly, yeah. I
mean, he's, you know,
he's a baby,
but he's very mature.
Yeah.
In our business, you know, in business wise, for that age, he's. I think when I think of the veterans, it's him and Chris Daniels, and Chris has been around a lot longer than Joe.
Yeah.
But still, obviously he's got more experience, but Joe is very elevated for the short period of time he's honestly been in the business.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got a real good blend, too. I mean, we talk about Joe and his youth and all that and his maturity, but we've got, you know, Christian, who's been around and been at the, you know, the WWE teaches you how to do TV and how to perform in big-time situations. and Christian brings that, Rhino brings it, and we've got a real good blend of guys that have been up there and guys that are on their way up with us, and it gives us some really compelling storylines. I mean, Sting wants to work with Samoa Joe.
Right.
I think that would be compelling television.
Yes.
Steve, you know, Bruce. Samoa Joe and Rhino, Samoa Joe and Abyss.
Yes,
I mean, you know, we've got some great matchups.
Somebody was some site somewhere I was reading, you know, that they were speculating that, you know, that Chris Benoit, since his contract, I don't know, this comes up in a few months or something. The first thing that crossed my mind and I salivated was him and Joe.
Ooh.
I mean, I'll buy a ticket for that one. I mean, really. I mean, but you know the thing, Terry, the slang is taking their time to build.
Yeah, it's hard on the TV now, though.
Oh, I know, I know.
Because we've got six segments of, you know, 41 minutes.
My philosophy or my thought is, if you give them something worth waiting for, they will wait.
That's what the pay-per-view. Actually, our one-hour shows are infomercials for the pay-per-views. But we still have to draw ratings. That's the quandary that we're in.
Sure.
It has to be good enough for people to watch. You know, now it's going to be Thursdays,
right?
And then compel them to pay $30 at the end of the month. But another guy we haven't really said much about is AJ. I mean, AJ is a phenomenal. They call him phenomenal. He really is.
Well, you know, he's a great
athlete. Tough kid.
People think I'm crazy, but I said, well, he's still maturing. What do you mean? I said, just what I said. He's still learning the business.
Yes, he is.
And he's learning
a different business than you and I knew.
Sure.
I mean, he's been on the indies, and he works with a bunch of high-spot guys, and then he works ground attack guys like Joe. I mean, he's still... But God, you talk about phenomenal. He really is a phenomenal athlete.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a tough kid. I mean, he got his lip split 6 inches in and out with Joe, and that was not even halfway through the match. I never even thought about, you know, stopping. And I admire that. Unless you blow your knee out or hurt your neck, we didn't stop.
No.
Right.
I was just thinking, Joe would have thought you were loose, as stiff as he.
You
could have attended him all night.
Just my luck.
Terry.
Yeah, I locked up with Les and I almost crippled him. I didn't know the lockup wasn't real.
He almost knocked me down. I said, kid, has anybody told you yet this work? There's an easy way to do this.
I've been in the business 20 minutes. And I don't think, I think most people are going.
One of the reasons I got out of the business, Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah, lock it up with me, ran you off.
I said, that's enough for me. I'm getting too old for this.
I don't think I could say I'm sorry any more than I have. I'm sorry you walk with a limp, Victor.
I know.
From a lockup, he walks with a limp now. I want to get to some questions from the chat room. Boogie Knight says, do you remember getting hanged by Nikolai Volkov in Alexandria at the Coliseum and somebody jumped the rail and used
a knife.
And used a buck knife to cut you down?
Sure did. I remember that because Nikolai was hanging me with a rope over the top rope. It was just a rope. It wasn't a chain.
Uh-huh.
And the guy was, I didn't know it at the time, but he was right next to my jugular vein. The guy had leaped over the rail and was trying to cut me loose. And Nikolai's boot, which was right by my throat, had like divots on it where the guy had slipped off the rope and cut his boot. If it had slipped the other way, the guy would have slit my throat.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the guy wanting to help me, but that kind of help I didn't really need.
When did this happen?
Like 84?
Yeah.
I do remember I don't remember much. That I remember because I went, oh my gosh. That's when you figure out, you know what? No bad guys have to fight their way back to the locker room anymore.
Yeah.
And back then, guys did.
You know, I mean, I had a situation like that in Morristown, Tennessee, where we were in a tag match, Whitey Caldwell and I against the Wrights, and we got into a four-way, and I followed Ron outside, and he went under the ring. There was no skirt on the ring that night, and he went under the ring, and he said, follow me, so I bailed under. Anyway, he turned and nailed me, you know, suckers punched me, and he had a roll of adhesive tape in his trunks, for Christ's sake. Anyway, he's taping me to the center support of the ring, right, by my neck, and then he's looking over my shoulder, and I see his expression change, his eyes get bigger, right, and he mumbled something through his breath, and he started backing out, and, you know, we were all obviously on our hands and knees, and he started backing out away from me, and I'm thinking, what the hell? And then here comes this guy up alongside me with a butt knife, right? And then he turned around and he said, I'll get you out, Les. I said, that's all right. I get rid of this tape. I'm thinking he's going to start swinging that damn knife. And the tape is around my throat and that support. I said, I don't think so.
If you tell people now that the heels used to have to fight out of the ring and they don't believe you.
Right.
Because it's the heels now get beat up and then lose. Back then, the bad guys were feared. And the fans were afraid of them. I mean, the heat was so much that they would take a chance jumping on a guy that they were afraid of because they believed in the baby face or they believed in the angle.
Mm-hmm. That same Ron Wright leaving the ring in Greenville, Tennessee, a fan got between the security guy in front and back, fan got between the cop in the rear, and Ron and zippered him from his waistline to the base of his neck, 173 stitches.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah, Ole got one of those, too.
Yeah, he was there that night when that happened.
Right across the top of his chest, across his stomach and stuff.
He hadn't thrown his arm up, the knife would have got sunk into his chest.
Oof.
I wonder what happens to those guys. Like, what happened to the guy that tried to cut you down, Terry?
Nothing.
No?
No, he lived in the town where the cops lived, and that was good old Henry or whoever it was. He just got a little excited. Now get back to your seat.
You know, man.
You know, I'm telling you, back then, when you ran places, it was cops that lived with the people that were jumping over the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew those people, so they didn't really get upset. They go, you know, Sam, you got to quit doing that now.
Yeah.
You know, and they might have thrown a half a can of beer at somebody and split one of the wrestlers open.
Right.
Well, you remember, Doc, when we had Frankie Kane on, we were talking about the Lumberton, North Carolina riot.
Yes.
We had that Rudy Kay and I were the baby faces. We had to bail JC out from under the fans, and then the only way we were supposed to drop the match in Three Falls to the Infernos, and we had to go over two straight to get out of there.
That happened with me and Jimmy Garvin once down in Galliano, Louisiana.
Yeah.
They were all drunk. It was a Sunday afternoon show, and those people had been drinking since Friday night.
Them Cajuns love to fight, drink, and make children.
Right.
Yeah. Jimmy was supposed to get heat, and I was supposed to bleed, and he was going to, I was going to slip over. He looked out there and saw the first couple matches with the heels fighting to get back after losing. Jimmy Garvin, if you know anything, is not a fighter. He'll tell you. And he said, I'm not getting any heat. I'm taking your finish, and it's all going to happen in about 6 minutes. And I said, whatever you want, because we had to go do it again that night.
Right.
So he puts me over. He fights the whole way back, and I look, and he's gone, and his wife is in the middle of about six people fighting for her life.
Wow.
And after it was, that night, I saw him, and I go, what was going on? He goes, hey, there's no reason for both of us to get beat up. He just left her.
Oh, man.
And he'll tell you that story. I'm not making that up.
Oh, God.
There's some wild
I miss those days when people get that excited.
It's amazing. These kids don't understand. I mean, they really don't know what heat is.
This is TV wrestling, and they do the match they want to do. They don't think about drawing. They don't think about, they make money no matter what they do.
Yeah, Doc, that's what happens to some of those guys. Sometimes they get tossed in the dressing room.
Yeah.
And they wish they hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the place to be.
No.
Yeah, I remember a couple, I don't remember who it was, but I think one of the guys got thrown into the locker room with the guy that he'd hit or something, and it wasn't pretty. The guy's still in there, the wrestler walks out, and the cops kind of scrape up the guy. If that happens, they threw him in jail. If they were going to allow the wrestler, at least to try to get even his own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember in North Attleboro, Mass. At Witchy's, it was an old roller rink. Right, and everybody from that neck of the woods remembers wrestling at Witchy's Arena on Friday nights. But anyway, I was just green as grass and just getting started in the business. But some police officer, Terry Garvin, heard him say to somebody, "Oh, it's ketchup or it's blood capsules or something like that." So anyway, Terry saw his chance, and he got juiced one night and was bleeding like a stuck pig and. Going back through the, security taking him back, and the cop was came and turned and faced him, and Terry, like he tripped and fell, and run his forehead all down the front of this guy's shirt. And then when he got addressed, he said, you can have that analyzed and see what that is if you want.
People don't understand what wrestlers used to do in the business to entertain or get people to come back and pay $6 or $8 or $10.
Yeah, or what they had to go through.
From getting hit with a chair to full force to working with a blown knee to having a broken neck and not knowing it and keep going to willfully bleeding for the fans to get them caught up in it. People have no idea.
Yeah.
And I don't like telling people all that stuff, but if I mean, it's not like I'm giving anything away anymore.
No.
Right.
People don't appreciate the sacrifice that's made for the fans. The fans think they're part of it now. So, but they've never made the sacrifice.
Yeah.
They've never worked hurt. They've never made a trip when their kid was being born and they had to make a choice of going to the town and honoring the commitment because the fans paid to watch them or watching their son being born.
Right.
I mean, it's, I don't know. I just think that there's an honor in what we used to do that's kind of lost. And I don't want to get all misty-eyed about it. But
listen, I just brought this. We had Terry Funk on. This is our month, Terry month. We had Terry Funk on last week, and I mentioned this. But, you know, when I came into the business, this wasn't so much told to you, but just common sense. You think, well, the average person on the street looks at professional wrestling as more or less comedy or, you know, lowbrow or whatever, you know, camp, call it what you like, you know, but you get my point. And I said, I always thought that our job was to try to disprove, you know, to its... I mean, there's got to be entertainment, but I'm, you know what I'm saying, you know.
Sure.
To add a little class to our business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Opposed to, to fortify the yeah. thought that we actually are baggy pants comedy.
Yeah. A lot of people, a lot of the talent doesn't realize that we have, all of us have a responsibility that are in this wonderful profession to leave it better for us being in it.
Yes.
I mean, the business gives us everything that we have, whether it's a nice house or a good feeling about ourselves or educating our children, and I mean, it doesn't owe us anything except the respect to give, leave it in at least as good a shape as we got it in, or better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think guys take that seriously. They get to pay $2,000, and they get to be in the wrestling business and tell somebody they're a wrestler without any of the sacrifice, without the commitment, without being, I don't know, I don't want to keep beating this to death, but mm-hmm. I just don't think people understand what, like when Les got in it and I got in it, it was a close-knit fraternity of about 1,000 guys that mm-hmm. didn't want outsiders in.
Right.
And you couldn't pay to get in it. You had to have something to offer the business, or you couldn't get in. They'd run you off, and they'd hurt you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and now, like, there's an independent on every street corner.
Right.
I hear guys tell me, they'll go, yeah, I'm a wrestler, yeah. And they're smaller than my wife.
Back then, it's an upstart, what we called an outlaw group, right? It was handled like this. The two toughest guys in your promotion went over and bought tickets, front row seats for the outlaw group. And when their champion came out, they said, hey, one of us would like to take you on. So now their champion had two choices. He could look like a fool and decline, or he could have his ass handed to him and look like a fool. But anyway, that was the way they killed their promotion.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, long time ago. But I mean, that was, or you know, invited their guy over to work for your show and stretched him, whatever the case may be. But
they protected the business.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
We policed our own.
You know.
Yeah, I got another question from the chat room. EL wants to know, past or present, who is not a champion that deserves to be one? Who was not a champion that deserves to be one?
Les, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either. You know,
that's a tough question because guys that should have been champs probably were, and the guys, or you know what, usually the guys that were champs shouldn't have been. The guys who put them over to get them to be champs should have been.
Yeah.
Because guys like Harley deserved it. It's different now.
Yeah.
I mean, guys had to be able to draw and perform and work every night with a different guy, and guys now can talk a match over for 45 hours before they go work for 6 minutes.
Right.
God, I've seen guys, Les, how many times have you seen two guys talk about the same match and it went 6 minutes?
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it really is.
I don't know.
That's where they lose the creativity. Now, to parallel this with the camp we're talking about that we're doing in North Carolina, that's one of the things that we'll do there. We'll pick a guy from Vegas and a guy from Boston and say, you've never met, good, get in the ring, you're a babyface, you're a heel, you've got 5 minutes, here's a finish, build us a match. Nope, don't talk about it, start now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's now. We're going to, you know, we're going to find out in 5 minutes if you have any. Now, it may not be perfect because you may never have done it before, but at least do give us some base to look at and say, there's something creative about this person. But
yeah,
with everything laid out, you could have Da Vinci, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Right?
But what if the people want, don't they want to see, you know, Gauguin or Van Gogh, and you're shooting up, you know, you're showing up, you know, what you said,
right,
Da Vinci. What if that's not what the audience wants to see?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No matter how good it is, it still isn't what they want. That's the wonderful thing about what we used to do. Like, gosh, I sound like an old haggard.
Well, but, you know, that's the art of it. You know,
yeah, the art was you could give the people
you
whatever you wanted.
Yeah, that's why you want to watch Elmsley. Yeah, that's why you want to watch Michaels or
yeah,
or whoever, right?
Yeah. Triple H and those guys, they can go anywhere in the country, in the world, and give the people a match with anybody that the people will be glad they saw. And they don't have to talk about it.
Right.
They can go out and listen, and the people will tell you what they want. If you're patient and you listen, and you can make them feel any way you want. And that's when I'm excited about this seminar we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because,
you know,
so,
well, when I had my school, that's the way all my kids were taught. Call it in the ring.
Yeah. I there's mean, no but, other way.
You know.
There is no other way.
No.
Rhode Island Red wants to know, how do you feel being considered for the Mr. Perfect gimmick? And how did you feel when Kurt Hennig got the part instead?
Well, first of all, there was only one Mr. Perfect ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Kurt Hennig.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody could have done that better than Kurt. And I was never in. See, that's somebody taking a story I told and not getting it accurately. What happened was, the same day I was the Red Rooster and I was debuted, Kurt was debuted as Mr. Perfect.
Uh-huh.
At one time, I said to somebody, how different would have our lives and careers have been if they'd have switched the gimmicks on that debut date?
Right.
And that, after I said it, I figured how stupid it was because there was only one Mr. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could have done that better than Kurt. And I honestly, in my heart, believe that. He
now,
was Mr. Perfect.
There's another thing, Terry, that I don't understand that goes on, well, at a lot of places, at a lot of levels in the business of recent years is, let's go Ric Flair is Ric Flair because he is Ric Flair. Dusty was et cetera, and Stone Cold, et cetera. You know, now, it's like they want to put that square peg in that round hole or the round peg in the square hole. You know, they want to give you something that goes against your grain, and you can't perfect that.
No, they've got to, you know, and when guys did their own, when guys had to get over on their own, they had to do something that was in them a little bit and make
yes,
it larger than life. Dusty came upon part of his personality, that way he could talk, and he had a rapport with black people in the 60s when it wasn't cool, and they loved him. And he just built on that, and his charisma and that connection translated, and then rednecks loved him, and Texas people loved him. And he really did. I mean, he was the first guy to really cross the color barrier for a white guy, for really the blacks to embrace him,
mm-hmm,
the way they did. And you know, he's still fun to listen to. I mean, he really is. Isn't he, Les, when you listen to him and he tells great stories and he's charismatic?
Yeah.
He's a great guy. I mean, and he is him all the time,
yeah,
which I think Les is trying to say. Dusty's Dusty no matter when you see him.
Exactly.
Professor V&S wants to know, when was your favorite time in the business as a wrestler?
I have to say Mid-South, without question, without hesitation. I enjoyed getting into the business. My early years were great because when I was putting everybody over, they all loved me, and that was fun. But Mid-South was fun because I was part of a team and a family that was putting something together, and each guy depended on the guy next to him to do their part every single night. And it was an incredible time. We were a team. We didn't get along great. It's like a family more than a team because we argued and we may have fought, but nobody would pick on anybody else in the family without us, you know, standing up for them. If a guy got in a fight in the crowd, the locker room went empty to help him. It wasn't one for all or any of that. I mean, well, yeah, it was. It was one for all and all for one. We depended on each other. And it was, you know, wasn't perfect, but it was a great time to be in the business.
Here is a question from the Outsider's Talk. It says, Terry, why do you think you haven't gotten credit for helping create the NWO with Paul Orndorff?
With Paul Orndorff?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Paul had anything to do with it.
Oh, this is what it says.
Oh, no, that wasn't Paul. That was a thing put together by Eric. Eric went to Japan and saw one of the smaller promotions that nobody knew was owned by New Japan or All Japan. And they were doing a deal where the champion on the smaller group was challenging, like Les was talking about in the old days. He was challenging the bigger group's champions and winning. They knew that if they had an underdog and he won, that people would be compelled to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Eric took that and took some of the guys that were leaving WWE, didn't tell the world they were coming, and had a little invasion angle. And it was Eric, Hall, and Nash. And the guy who really made that work was Hogan, because he turned heel after 10 years of that, you know, pure baby face deal. And Hulk gave them the credibility.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That thing, that was an Eric, Hulk, Hall, Nash, and Kevin Sullivan deal.
Ah, okay. Lawson wants to know if you still keep in touch with Vince Russo.
Yeah, I talked to him today. Love
cool.
him.
Cool. I got one last question because I know you got to
get
going.
Love it, Wes. I'm not saying a word. Why am I with Vince Russo?
I know you got a date coming up, Terry.
I'm an old man. What can
I got one more question because I know you got a date coming up.
Yep.
With
my wife.
With your wife, of course.
Love her.
Shock wants to know if you'd ever consider teaming with Balls Mahoney and being called Cock and Balls.
Cock and Balls. That's not original. They got to come up with something better than that.
Shock, you got to do better than that, my friend.
Oh, I've heard that for 15 years. And yes, I would do it as long as he took all the bumps.
Yeah.
And I got to catch all the falls. How's that for an old timer, Les? There you go.
That's great, Terry.
That's great.
We appreciated having you on. God, I wish we could have you on longer. But we know you got to go.
I'll come on before the thing next week.
I'll see you on the 17th.
Yeah.
And my best to Miss Trudy.
Well, thank you, Les. Our best to you and your wife. And I bring me on next week if you want. If everybody no-shows you again and you have to slum it, let me know.
We may have time, Terry,
violin.
To bring you on and answer some more of the fans' questions, because there was a lot of questions we didn't get to.
If you want me next week, I'll do it. I'll be happy to.
Okay.
So if you don't have somebody else, let me know.
Okay. We'll be in touch.
My queen is calling. Thanks, guys.
All
see you
right,
next week,
Les. See you later.
All right. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Doc. Bye.
Terry Taylor here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Always a good interview.
He'll be
Mr. Taylor.
Week, and I'll be in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a private session on Thursday for High Spots trainees only.
Ah.
Yeah, and then we do the 3 days: Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I really am excited. I mean, a lot of good kids who work with in the past. Are coming into this, but I mean, trainers who are wrestlers and promoters and whatever, we're gonna have a good turnout. And it's again, if you're an indie worker, you're serious about what you're doing, you can have a great time, and believe me, you'll learn something. There's no, I mean, if you don't, it's because you're not trying.
Right.
It's on the front page, epwt.com, the contact info for Matt Holder, his promoter. And anyway, give us a shot if you're interested.
Yeah, you can get all the information at epwt.com. And
let me throw this in, too, for the trainees. Since we're involved, High Spots is involved, those trainees that are with us that weekend, the High Spots store will have a special discount on everything in the store. For them, for that weekend only as well. So,
You know what about Terry though?
What?
I hate to change the subject, but you know what about Terry? He cleared up a lot of rumors that were going around and a lot of myths about Terry Taylor.
You know what? I didn't hear any of those rumors. I'm just not hanging out the right places, Doc. I don't know.
You should come on the internet more. Hang out with us.
I heard that.
The internet wrestling community, that's what they call us.
Is that what we are?
That's what we,
all
well,
right.
Not
I,
you.
Well, I was at an all-day seminar today about internet marketing and all that sort of stuff. So,
oh, cool. You're going to have to teach.
God, I may sell you something.
You're going to have to teach me some stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm still thinking and trying to digest this and see if I can understand it.
Because I don't know how to market this show. I have no clue. I
heard that.
I give up. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, guys, we've got Bruce Mitchell from PW Torch Pro Wrestling Torch, of course.
Right.
He's going to be giving us the hot topic for this week.
All right.
So let's take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got Bruce Mitchell coming up here on Wrestling Weekly. Stay with us.
And now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Hi there, folks. This is Joseph White here, and I'm here to tell you about a brand new show on www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. The show is called From Pillar to Post Live, and it is taking Wednesday nights by storm, with such guests as AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Don West, indie star Human Tornado, and many, many others. This show is something you do not want to miss out on. That's P2P Live every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right after In Your Head. For more information, such as how to contact the hosts, upcoming guests, and to chat with other P2P fans in our forums, log on to www.p2plive.net. That's www.p2plive.net. We'll see you Wednesday night, folks.
Brothers and sisters, we're here for one reason, and one reason alone.
What's up, gang? The Trey Dog here with my tag team partner,
JFK.
Are you looking for the latest and greatest in wrestling media?
Check out a brand new site, www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
The new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows, such as
Wrestling News Live,
WTR Sunday Nights,
Monday Night Mayhem,
Wrestling Weekly,
and Trash Talking Radio.
Also, a brand new show that will cover the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games. Not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media,
visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Country boys don't rock and roll. Yeah, the record man's home, so you'll never get it on the radio. Well, I'm a crazy son of a
bad word,
but I know I'm gonna make it big and rich. Yeah, I'm gonna let it.
www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNA. TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Jeez, you know that information, right? and a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, then an obsession. Check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you. It's Wrestling Weekly, guys. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Terry Taylor. I know I did. A lot of good stuff still to come. We're still going to get into the news, but right now it's time for a hot topic, and we've got Bruce Mitchell from the Pro Wrestling Torch. Bruce, thanks for being on the show.
I enjoy it. Thanks for asking me.
Doc, did you see Bruce's end of the year quiz?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay, well.
And why not, Doc?
Exactly.
I don't, because Les didn't send it to me. He sent me.
I don't get it on the internet.
You know what? It's actually for sale, and anybody can, like, you know, anybody can, like, subscribe to the Torch. I don't like to have somebody send it to you. You know, break off a couple of bucks there.
Doc, all you need to do is I'll pack up all my Torches and Observers and mail them.
Excellent.
Good. Lord.
3, 4, 5 weeks later.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you'll be right up to date. Well,
Les points me out to all the important things that you write.
Oh, I see. Well, you know it is pretty expensive. It's $6 a month if you have internet access. So, I mean, I got to say, that's how much a day. I mean, I'm a school teacher. I know how that is.
Doc's pretty frugal.
I'm getting that impression.
I use rolls of toilet paper twice.
That's very nice.
They had to show up at your place the other night, didn't they?
Oh, no, they're actually having it Monday night.
Oh, it's this Monday night?
Yeah, well, I'll come through Monday night.
All right, you got your tickets?
Yeah. I couldn't miss the Triple H tournament to get Triple H into the WrestleMania.
You're probably upset that SmackDown's not going to be there so you could eat some worms.
Oh, yeah, that would be... Yeah, what the boogeyman. Anybody that can make a wrestling career without never actually touching the wrestling ropes, I'm always, you know...
I thought, you know, how much easier it is to drop 4 million worms in the middle of the ring than it is to actually...
I know, you've been wasting a lot of people's time over the years teaching them how to wrestle and, you know...
I know.
you could have gotten straight to the worm.
Somebody said that they're actually the go to see them. Somebody said, told me they saw them going through the process of washing those suckers back
oh,
in the day.
Man.
Yes.
Oh, man. that's an image. I didn't know that you did. I just figured he just went through it. So.
He's more of a man than I tell you what, I couldn't put them things in my mouth.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope his contract's a big one.
And I don't know. I would have liked to have been there when they explained the spot to Jillian Hall about, okay, he's going to have worms in his mouth, and you're going to open your mouth really wide and lay down on the canvas, and he's going to spit them all into your mouth. And she went, oh, okay. I'll be fine.
See, you didn't like Raw this week, did you?
No, I did.
A lot of people, a lot of the other contributors over at the Torch gave it high scores.
Well, that must mean I'm wrong, huh?
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying let's hear your opinion on it.
There was no good wrestling, for one thing. And in 2 hours, I think you can come up with a couple of matches, you know, that were good. I think Edge is very good. I really like Edge, and I like Edge and Lita. I think they have something going, but it wasn't enough to really carry the show. And you know, lots of it was just dull. I don't see the road to WrestleMania. To me, it's like it should really be getting cranked up, and you should have a clear understanding of strong storylines going into the next, you know, next several weeks, and it's just not there.
I read that in your report, and I thought, he's right. I mean, it's just, I know, there's nothing that's really setting the fire under your rear end, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, usually they're having a good year, a bad year, and actually they're kind of having a pretty good year. I mean, business is up in certain ways, and ratings are up.
Sure.
But, you know, usually have a strong, they always have a strong direction for WrestleMania, and I just, you know, with the exception of McMahon and Shawn Michaels, which is kind of up and down to me, I don't see anything else really coming out of it. And I don't even mean like good. I just mean like promotional work. Yeah, you're right. You know, you're starting to really get excited about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I know where they're. I think where they're going with this whole title thing, but switching it back and forth like every couple weeks, I just, you know, I mean, that's taking some of the luster off of that too. I think. And forget who the participants are. I don't even think that's relevant in what we're talking about now.
Yeah, and you're right. Particularly when you're going into your biggest show of the year. I mean, WrestleMania. You know, part of the WrestleMania mystique is the big title match where you pretty much have an idea the title's going to change hands. It's usually, you know, the end of the chase, and you know, fans get their payoff of seeing the good guy win. And I don't know that they're going to do that. And also, I just think for a lot of reasons, John Cena and Triple H just is not going to be very good on the way to the match, and then the match itself. It's hard to see how that match. They just don't. Their styles don't mesh very well.
Yeah.
Russell fan wants to know, Bruce, what do you think about the rumor that Ray is not getting a title shot at WrestleMania?
I think there's a lot of validity to that. I think that Randy Orton's going to beat him for the spot that he won at Royal Rumble, and that Ray will do something else. But I think that's a shame, because probably the best SmackDown match I can think of would be Angle as a heel, you know, defending against Ray, and Ray winning the title. And forget about all the real bad taste stuff they've been doing with Eddie, but, you know, just win the title and dedicate it to Eddie and do it simply. I think that's probably the best thing they could do.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
see, in my organized wrestling common sense mind, I like the feel-good thing of Ray, you know, the little guy struggling, climbing the mountain, but I think putting the belt on him, because you can't, I can't see that long term, is going to harm him more than having just get to the pinnacle and take it away from him.
You know, there really is less something to what you're saying, and that, does he keep it long term, and then he's got that side differential, and he's defending instead of chasing. So, I mean, that's a problem. I will say this: I do notice. You know, I'm a school teacher, an elementary school teacher, and my real job, well, not my real job, but my job, and I don't know how real either one of these jobs are, but anyway, it's real when I get paid. So, you know, I noticed that Ray just really has this hold over kids, and I think that, you know, I think that he's, and then the Hispanic audience, too, I think that he's, you know, that there's real, there's always been untapped potential in him. And, you know, but I mean, it's the best of, when I think about what you could do on SmackDown, particularly when the title picture, it's hard to come up with, you know, very good matchups. I mean, you know, of things that you could build into WrestleMania and keep it going. I mean, Randy Orton as a heel chasing Kurt Angle as a babyface and beating him, that just doesn't, I mean, that's not that WrestleMania moment, the world is watching moment that they aim towards.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so. I mean, that's one of their strengths is they do, you know, that one, you know, and all the wrestling companies used to do it, that one show where you knew, it had been building up to for a long time, and you knew you were going to get you knew as a fan that you were going to get to see what you wanted to see, that the story would have a happy ending. And, of course, it would, you know, continue the next week on television. But
sure.
I think
to parallel this with something, I still contend to this day that putting the world title on Tommy Rich, not because it was Tommy, but because it was a short-term thing. Plus, again, like you're talking about the kids, it was the young girls, the Bobby Soxers, the Teeny Boppers, whatever you want to call them, and the grandmothers, you know, that were so strong behind Tommy. And I think once he achieved the climax, then it was like, what was there left to cheer for?
You know, you're really right. And, you know, you think about, and John Cena's like that, too, and I always think John Cena's part of that continuum from Tommy Rich to Kerry Von Erich, Ricky Morton, and you know, John Cena, where the guy that, yeah, the girls like, you know, and the grandma, I don't know if the grandmothers like John Cena, but the girls and the kids like, and they bring in the extra fans because, you know, the screaming teeny bopper girls, they won't come unless they have somebody to scream for.
Right.
And so those guys are valuable. I mean, you know, they really help the box office, but on the other hand, they can really turn, you know, they can really turn the guys against them. And I always thought it started with Ricky Morton and Jim Crockett.
Yeah.
And they really, I mean, I was there, and I was one of the fans that turned against him because it was just a little too teeny bopperish for, you know, mean, ugly guys. And,
But now there's another comparison, too. An undersized guy, Morton, Chase, and Flair, and the way, and obviously Flair came out on top because Ricky never became world champion, so, but it was done in such a way that it didn't destroy Ricky either.
No, that's true, and the fans really appreciated. I mean, one thing, the guy was such a great worker.
Yeah.
That he could take the beating and come back, you know, then he could come back credibly, and they appreciated the effort, and he was good old Ricky Morton, so they always were kind of going to be in his corner. And, you know, yeah, that was one of Flair's best matchups of that era. I always thought I was really enjoyed those matches. But, Cena has that thing, but then I just think culturally things have changed where, you know, if the girls really like you, you're not tough enough for the guys.
Yeah.
And it used to be you could straddle that fence and you could, you know, you could be right there, you'd kind of be for, you know, if you're a hero, you kind of be for everybody, and that's pretty tough these days.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and then so many guys want to be the cool heel too.
Yeah.
That's you know, everybody wants to be Kevin Nash.
Right. Except it doesn't. Yeah. Except Kevin Nash. Except when you're the cool heel and you kill off everybody else's heat, then it doesn't work so well. So
exactly.
So.
Let me. You know, we were on the stereo, and I think I know the answer before I ask the question, but. We were talking earlier the fact that now Lance Storm and Mick Foley have both come public on websites about how Eddie Guerrero's name is being used, and I'm uncomfortable with it. And I'm, you know, what's your opinion on it?
Well, you know, I think that probably is the hot topic this week, and I think Mick Foley speaks. In fact, I know he does. He speaks for a lot of people in WWE's locker room.
Yeah.
In fact, the vast majority of them. In fact, there's, you know, surprising names, I think, in management that, you know, don't want it to come out, but they're uncomfortable with it, too. I think it's in very poor taste. I think it's just a terrible thing to do, and it makes the company look bad. I mean, it clearly comes. I think fans today can differentiate between what the heel says and what the heel's told to say by the company, and you know, the fact that it's allowed at all to be said just puts that company in such a bad light.
Yeah.
I just think it's bad for business, and it's just, and there's certain things, I don't care how much money's involved, that shouldn't be done, and to take this guy's memory that people really honor and respect, you know, they really did honor and respect, and they still do, Eddie Guerrero, and try to exploit it in such a cheap, callous way, just does damage to, you know, just does damage to the wrestling business, does damage to the people that made the decisions, and it does damage to the whole company. And I'm glad. I think Mick Foley's in a situation where, you know, he loves wrestling and he wants to wrestle, but he's saved his money, and he can, you know, he can live a happy life doing other things without it, and so he could speak up for it. But I wish that. I wish it more than would, because I just think that, you know, this is Vince McMahon's angle, and he's not in a mood anymore to be told no, but I think this is a time that he needs to be told no, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wrong.
It's kind of the 2006 version of the Emperor's New Suit.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and you know, I know that Foley had it on the blog, and I believe it's been taken down from WWE.com.
Oh, really?
It's hard to say whether that's, you know, let's get some attention and take it down and start something from that, or get everybody talking, or whatever it is. But the old adage that there's no such thing as bad publicity in professional wrestling, I think it's been proven wrong many times. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't see anybody that thinks this is a good idea, with the exception of the most powerful man in the business.
I think you're right about it. It's been proven wrong, Bruce. And the only instances I can think of where it's been proven wrong are in wrestling.
I think there's times in everything. I mean, you know, if you get arrested for murder, and you know, you go to jail for the rest of your life, and you get in the papers, that's great, you get a lot of publicity, but it's not very good for you.
Now you got a point.
You know, I mean, that, you know, there's good and bad publicity. There's publicity where, you know, you get a lot of notoriety and it ruins your business and all that kind of thing. But I just think of Eddie's family and how close he was to them and how he carried himself in the wrestling business, and he would not have wanted this to be going on, and you know, it's hurting members of that family, and they've gone through, you know, they've gone through enough. And forget about all the other reasons. That's enough of a reason not to do this.
Yes,
they've suffered enough, and you know, through no fault of their own, and it needs to stop.
And I don't see in what way this is making any more money than if they didn't do it.
Yeah, I think it's not. I think that, I mean, that's, you know, business wise, I think it's a turnoff for people, and I don't see people going, oh, that rotten Randy Orton, you know, for saying Eddie Rose in hell. I think I've never, you know, I wasn't at the arena that night, but I mean, I'm around, as I said, little kid fans and who see that stuff, and they're not saying anything like that. I think, I mean, you know, I don't think it's the kind of heat that turns into money or anything like that. I think that it's, you know, it's that thing where they just go, oh, what a sleazy thing to say. This is a sleazy show, and I'll either keep watching it and not like it, or maybe, you know, I'm sure that people would just turn off the television and watch something else. You have so many choices now.
Yeah. M80 wants to know, what do you think the chances are of Austin versus Hogan at WrestleMania?
I would say pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of those deals that anything's possible. I know that Hogan, they haven't been talking with Hogan lately, and Hogan was not happy with the offer that he got to work a Legends match with either Sid Udy, who, I don't know, I guess he's a legend in some people's mind, or Greg Valentine, I think legitimately is a legend for those of us who saw him in the prime of his career in New York and in the Mid-Atlantic, but, you know, I don't think he wants to be, you know, Hogan doesn't want to be portrayed that way, and they haven't been talking lately, but, I mean, that could change because there's no real Legends match, with the exception of Michaels and McMahon, out on the horizon, so, you know, I guess Hogan could get there, but I know Austin's not happy with what happened with his friend Jim Ross. He doesn't want to work with Hulk Hogan. It's a bad matchup for Austin right now.
All right.
Because you don't want to be, you know, he really did break all of Hogan's, he smashed all of Hogan's box office records, but for some reason right now, he's not seen as the legend the way Hogan is. And so I don't think he has any, you know, except for money, I don't think he has any real reason to go out there with Hogan, and particularly Hogan pulled the rug out from under him, which very well could happen. So he needs some assurances, and he would need, you know, assurance that Hogan, that he would beat Hogan. I mean, he said that before. He's not going to wrestle. He never did. He didn't appreciate what happened in WCW. Hogan came in and, you know, basically had his friend Jim Duggan beat him and job him out, and he lost his job. So, I mean, you know, he beat Hogan. And Hogan, I don't see Hogan losing any more matches in his career. I mean, I guess it's possible, but, I mean, I think that he's not in any mood to do that either. So it's tough politically. So, I mean, it could happen, but I think that the odds are very, very low.
Yeah, I think they're both in the same position in that you're not going to see them losing anymore in their careers, and I think that goes for Steve Austin as well.
Yeah. And
that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, Austin, it was pretty much a debacle. I mean, they seriously wanted Steve Austin to lose to Jonathan Coachman. I mean, think
right.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
And not get his win back and not save Jim Ross's career. And that would have done Steve Austin, you know, the marketability of Steve Austin, some damage. I mean, some real damage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he won his feud and he was this big deal. And then they were just going to leave him hanging because the major thing was to get Jim Ross off the television no matter what. And, you know, Austin rightfully so wasn't happy with any of that.
No, I don't blame him at all either.
No.
Even if it was supposed to be due to interference by Mark Henry.
Or whoever.
Which was supposed to be the rumor that was going around.
Oh, yeah, it was Mark Henry and, you know, like, you know, or, you know, he could have gone on there and gotten hurt wrestling, you know, working with Vader.
Uh-huh.
Beyond washed up and all that. So, I mean, I don't know. There's some things that went on last year and kind of going on now, but just the incompetency is staggering. I mean, you know, pretty clearly were bad ideas and pretty clearly things were insisted on. So.
Yeah. Jack in the Box, he says, do you think Saturday night's main event will be a success?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they haven't been on network television for a while. They're riding a little bit of raised momentum, and people will turn. I think wrestling fans will turn in to see, and maybe some returning wrestling fans will turn in to see, you know, what's going to happen on network television. That first time, you'd expect to see some major fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
you know, I think that people will do that. And then there's, you know, there's some fans that have some nostalgia for it from back in the 80s, maybe. You know, I think it'll do well. I think that you know, major show, major network and all that, I think the allure of that, at least the first time, will definitely do well. Probably the next couple times after that.
Yeah. You're listening to Bruce Mitchell from PWTorch.com here on Wrestling Weekly. Bruce, your thoughts on Tim White?
You know, I think what they're doing is, I think it was just one of those deals where they had this really bad idea. It was just a bad idea. There was a germ of a good idea in it, which was promote Hell in the Cell. I don't know if we've talked about this, but promote Hell in the Cell. Tim White actually got hurt legitimately in a Hell in the Cell match and, you know, ended his wrestling career, which he, you know, his career in wrestling, which he'd had for many, many years. And, you know, to talk about, okay, Hell in the Cell is a different type of match. It's very dangerous. It could even end the career of a referee, and do that on SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
Leading up to, you know, Orton and Undertaker and Hell in a Cell. But instead, I guess they didn't get the idea until, you know, the week of the pay-per-view, so it was too late. So they had him kill himself in this just, you know, ridiculous moment where everybody groaned and, you know, and hated it. So again, the management, Stephanie and Vince, are in this mindset where, by God, they're never wrong, and by God, you're going to eat it if, you know, you don't like it. So they just, to amuse themselves, I think they do these skits on WWE.com, and, you know, they're easily ignored, and, you know, I guess Tim White gets a nice payday out of it. That's the only positive I can think of.
At least it's not on TV.
Yeah.
They're not taking up TV time with this.
Well, I mean, you know, when you hear the gunshot, I mean, when someone shoots somebody on a network television show or anything on TV, then you've got a pretty good idea that sometime during the show they're going to address it. They're not going to ignore it, and it just, you know, you end up with all this stupid stuff. And it's, you know, there's just some things that don't belong in a sports entertainment thing, and I think suicide's probably one of those things. So, in fact, I'm sure of it.
Yeah,
I'll go out on a limb and say it.
Bruce, don't you think overall you were good? Mentioned some earlier about whatever, I forget what it was exactly now, but it didn't sell any tickets or did it advance the storyline. But so much of what they're doing now on both shows has nothing to do with asses and seats or pay-per-view buys,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's hard.
I mean, it's like the next pay-per-view you come over, somebody comes over your house and says, man, I just can't wait to see Boogeyman eat worms, or I just can't wait to see him bite off Jillian Hall's. No, I mean... Or hey, you think Sheldon's mama had a heart attack? Of course she didn't have a heart attack. I mean, it was so obvious that it was camp.
Yeah, it was campy, and then, you know, and then it just takes, when you're sitting there going, oh, that's so fake. Oh, that's so bad, or so corny.
It makes it so much harder for the guys in the ring to get over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I thought that Thea Vidal did a good job with what they wanted her to do. It was just such a bad idea, and then it just sucked the life out of Shelton Benjamin. I mean, it just really did. Every match, it was like the exact opposite of what a manager should do. I mean, it was, you know, and the idea that you want to see, you know, good guys or bad guys or whatever kind of wrestlers, nobody wants to see a mama's boy in there getting pushed around by his mother. I don't even think. I mean, you can have a mama's boy like a Buddy Rose type, I guess, but you don't want to see the mama actually doing it.
Right.
You know, it's just...
Don't you think, too, I mean, now, as far as what you can hear from the crowd, is they didn't seem too much care.
Oh, that's what I think.
I mean, it wasn't like it got heat on him. You know, it wasn't like they hated him because his mama was there, but it was kind of like, hey, we know it's not his mama, right?
And it just kind of took away the interest. It's just like, okay. And it was so over the top.
Yeah.
You know, that really, that hurt it too. And it was just, you know, you're just sitting there watching it going, who thought this, but you could see, you know, it's easy to figure out what it was. Hey, Martin Lawrence, that movie, you know, Big Mama was a big success. So let's use that. But things don't translate that way. I mean, you know, you there's no athlete on earth that, you know, that's a major athlete in any sport, that the mother is out there yelling at him during the game. you know, you might see him after the, you know, you might see him after the game, you might see him in the commercial, like Donovan McNabb and all that, but, you know, during the game, you know, when they're competing, you don't see it, you don't see that, and particularly,
right.
It's just, I don't even know, I mean, I just think that it just, yeah, you're right, it wasn't like, oh, you know, it wasn't like you're getting the, what a mama's boy, you should lose, it was just, here's this good athlete who was, just seemed like less of a character.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like Cornette talking about his mama. That got heat.
Oh, it did. You know, it did. And he was so, you know, he was, because that was part of it, you know, it's part of his character was he didn't deserve what he had.
And physically, you could look at him and say, yeah, he's a mama's boy. I hate him.
Yeah, he's out there. He took cheap shots. You know, that was another part of it. Shelton still wrestled the same way.
Sure.
And he is completely miscast as a mama's boy because he looks like a stud, because he is a stud.
Exactly.
You know,
no, you're right. You know,
you know,
it's true.
And,
you know, and I don't, you know, I don't think it's things that what we're talking about. I don't honestly believe that crosses the average fan's mind. It's just that it's kind of like trying to stick a round peg in a square hole.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and really the Cornette thing is a really good comparison because, you know, Cornette would do the, you know, Cornette would take the cheap shot. And he was such a, excuse me for saying this word, but he was such a chicken shit.
Yeah.
And he played it so well, and he was mean, too. I mean, it was just, you know, he was mean and cowardly and all those things. But, you know, I think he was probably wise not to bring mom in or have someone play mom or anything like that.
Sure.
He let you imagine that part. You know, but he, yeah, and, you know, everything from how he dressed to every little detail was part of that. And all the details didn't. You know, none of the details fit, and I think that part of it is just building the character from ground up. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, they can't,
yeah.
Not only wrestling, but they can't seem to do it in any, you know.
Well,
anyway.
I think what you just said, too, is, talking about the Cornette thing, they don't roll with the fans. They try to control how the fans are going to react. And that's virtually not impossible, but, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, you just make the adjustments that go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what you're talking about, Les, I mean, you know, they've had 4 weeks of Edge and Lita, and they, you know, on top, and yet, you know, they got the live sex gimmick, which one time was going to work.
Right.
And, you know, and Flair working with it, and that's fine, but, I mean, the guy really did come through and gave them, you know, from a 3-7 to a 4-5, and that's a pretty significant jump. And it looks like he's being phased out instead of, well, we've got something hot that the people are, you know, are responding to as a heel. So, you know, in the old days, even if they had their guys on top, they had to have on top, you know, Dusty would have teamed, you know, Dusty would have faced the guy or teamed with him or something, but instead it's just like, he's got to get out of the way, we've got to cool him off so Hunter can take the spot. And it's just, you know, take the momentum. You know, you found this. It worked out. So go with it. That's the whole idea.
Sure. Yeah. But, yeah, and, like, to me, it's like this whole thing. Well, Sheldon and Flair at WrestleMania for the IC title, well, didn't Helmsley just hand Rick his ass and then didn't who was it before that? Edge.
Yeah,
right.
Edge beat him up, and, you know.
They both have handed him his butt, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing people didn't want. And the other, you know, the thing you asked me about Monday, about Raw, like apparently the best thing on Raw was, here's a shock, Ric Flair did a good interview. And they didn't even show it. And so during the match, that wasn't a very good match, because he did a good interview, the fans started buying into it. And then he just got cut off and beat. You know, just got cut off and beat. You're just like, when you have somebody, you know, I understand 56 years old and credibility and all that. I understand the argument, but it doesn't matter because people buy into it and they just cut off the thing. If the wrong person gets over, it's like they get punished for it instead of, you know, even trying to just take advantage of it somehow.
Well, you know, but if you can't, you know, on the other hand, if you draw the line at credibility. Or believability, I should say. Then, I mean, again, I think the David and Goliath story is always good—the underdog coming from behind. But if Ray beats somebody, or even hangs with somebody six times his size every week, then the guild is off the lily there too.
Well, you know,
right?
Yeah, think so, but I mean, I just, but I think also if Ray can perform, and I still, I mean, I hate when I see Ray in there with Big Show.
Well, you know, somebody said, well, the other thing is, I said, I think he's a brilliant worker. But the point is, if you built a cruiserweight division, look at the guys, what kind of matches, and when I say open up, I don't mean go out there and do death-defying things, but he can't do the things with Angle or with Henry or with whoever that he can do with Shabo or Spanky or, you know, Jamie Noble. Or somebody like that. I mean, he could have,
yeah.
Him and Noble could tear the house down, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that, but you have to, and TNA does a good job of this, which is, you know, you have to say, this is just as important as the heavyweights.
Sure.
And you keep the heavyweights away from them. And you know, yeah, I mean, when you have, to me, when you have, using Big Show and Ray, if Big Show squashes Ray, that really kills off Ray.
Sure.
If Ray stays with Big Show, it hurts Big Show, and if you know they just shouldn't ever be matched up.
Yeah,
if, you control your whole universe, so why put those guys together? And it's, and also they just don't, you know, one guy's big and slow and ponderous and does power moves, the other guy is agile and quick, and so they just don't match up together. There's no reason to do that, and Mark Henry falls in that. Although he had it. He did as good a job with Mark Henry as I've pretty much ever seen anybody, but on the other hand, that still should never happen.
Yeah. Bruce, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. We'll see you again, of course, in a couple of weeks. Don't forget to check out Bruce's stuff over at pwtorch.com.
Bruce, get down to see us over that weekend.
You know what? I'm going to see what I can get together this weekend and see if I can pull something.
Cool, I'd love to see you.
I really would like to do that.
All right, man. Well, we'll look forward to it.
All right, Doc, I look forward to you reading stuff on the Pro Wrestling Torch. website and all that. I hope Les is able to get some stamps together and send it to you. Postage due.
Postage due, of course.
All right.
All right, guys, I enjoyed it.
All right, Bruce, thank you.
Take care, Bruce.
Bye.
Bruce Mitchell from PW Torch here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Les, we've got about 20 minutes left. We have to do... quick news segment, and we've got, of course, a TNA pay-per-view coming up, so it's time to play the game. We're going to have to play the prediction games tonight.
All right. Whatever.
So let's take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we've got some more news for you, and Les and I are going to play the prediction game here on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
And now it's time for the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, this is Adam Martin from WrestleView.com with some breaking news. For all the latest and greatest in wrestling media, check out a brand new website at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com, the new home of some of your favorite wrestling radio shows such as WTR Sunday Nights, Wrestling News Live, Monday Night Mayhem, Wrestling Weekly, and Trash Talking Radio. Also, a brand new show that will cover all the latest from the world of PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360 video games, not to mention video interviews and other special wrestling video features. For your one-stop shop in the world of wrestling and video game media, visit our new home at www.wrestlingmedianetwork.com. This has been a breaking news update from WrestleView.com. I'm Adam Martin.
Back to you!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les,
yes.
it's been kind of a slow news week, but there is some news stories that we do need to get
well,
to
you
real
know,
quick.
When you say slow, I guess there hasn't been a lot of things going on, but unless you get into all the Brock Lesnar lawsuits and stuff
right.
like that. But,
you can have a whole show about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, the TNA thing is huge.
It is.
It's not multiple newses, but it's in itself, you know, this short year of 2006 is probably the biggest news. I mean,
you're absolutely
puts,
right.
You know, it puts them in a position, to move it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And like as we were saying earlier, it's not quite as easy as just doing it, you know. So I mean, that's part of the fascination, I think, for me for watching it. But the exciting thing is if the company grows, then there's more work for more of the boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the cool thing, you know. There's more opportunities for new talent.
Yeah. Speaking of talent, or on the opposite side, China is going to be part of the new VH1 series called Surreal Life: Fame Games.
Yeah, that's past cast members from that are into some kind of what?
It's an elimination competition for $100,000 grand prize.
All right.
It says other contestants include Vanilla Ice, Ron Jeremy, and Emmanuel Lewis.
Okay.
So it's going to be pretty interesting to see China again and see if she's improved. Shall I put it that way?
Well, whatever you say, Don.
Joel,
she's got a movie coming out or something too, right?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
I'm curious. We didn't mention. You know, Stacey Keibler and her partner got a perfect score last week on Dancing with the Stars.
Yep, we did mention that last week.
Yeah, and they had the best cumulative score and call-in votes. I didn't see what this week, of course, but
I think they're locks to win.
I think well, her and her partner and my homeboy Drew Lachey and his partner.
Yeah,
I think have got a good shot at it too.
Could be.
Hold on.
Absolutely.
Well, excuse me.
That's okay, Les. Have you heard about Joel Maximo?
The who, what?
Joel Maximo of the SAT.
Yes, I did hear something about that.
He was he was hospitalized in Queen after being stabbed in the stomach.
Mugging? Or
during during a mugging attempt on Monday.
Wow. That's, somewhere in Brooklyn. I did hear about that. I don't know those kids well. I met them, briefly, but that's sad. That's a shame. Well, hope he gets. I guess he's doing all right, and just in time to heal now.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. I don't know about. I know he's big and strong and everything, but fighting with three muggers is not a good idea, especially when they have a knife.
Cool. Oh, somebody, come March. March 4th, I think. Drawing for the Super 8, ECWA's 10th annual.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have Jim Kettner on, too, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
And Jim has been promoting 39 years.
Whew.
I mean, I don't know that there's anybody been in business longer than that.
And that's a hard job to do.
Short of the original WWF.
Right.
You know.
That's a hard job to do, just for a while. But to do it for that long, and boy, he must have a lot of stress in his life, you know?
Yeah. he's a good guy. He's helped, Charlie and Russ Haas before they got into the WWE system.
Mm-hmm.
Jim helped them along and helped bring them along, you know. And he runs a tight ship, very professional. The Super 8, Chris Daniels has won that, Petey Williams, gosh, I can't think of all, Steve Bradley. I had Sharks been in that, Jamie Noble, Chad Collier, Matt Stryker, Pepper Parks. I'm trying to think who else I've had in that thing. But anyway, the drawing's on the 4th. The show is April. And we're going to have Jim on talk about 39 years of his promotion and then the Super 8. And I think this year they've got a lot of the past winners coming back, kind of like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
It was a good. You know what? I think I'm not like for either team, but I kind of think Seattle got a couple bad calls.
A couple. I don't think it was any. I don't think it was anything that cost them the game.
No.
I think the
push off on the touchdown.
Right.
You know, I think that was a bad call.
You think that was a bad call?
Well, I think if the Pittsburgh defensive back would have taken a big bump like basketball players do and oversold it, then I might have bought into it. But if you really look at it, if you see pushing off, the defensive back didn't stagger at all, right? I mean, I'm getting my impression is that the guy, I'm not saying the guy's fingertips did not touch him, but touching and pushing off are like, you know, there's a difference there.
To me, it looked like he pushed him off. I mean, I know he didn't back up
or
anything.
Now you talk about a feel-good story. You know, Bettis, his last game in his hometown. And, well, the funny thing is, here in Cincinnati, we Roethlisberger, quarterback up here at Miami of Ohio in Oxford, which is just 45 minutes from me. And Sean Alexander went to Boone County High School just across the river, half an hour from me.
Mm-hmm.
And Starks, it was starting offensive lineman for Pittsburgh. His father, Ross Browner, was a defensive lineman for the Bengals. And they lived here for a while. So, anyway. Everybody was saying all along that Seattle didn't, you know, really wasn't that good a team. But I think they proved that they were. They held Pittsburgh down pretty strong, at the, you know, in the first part of the ball game.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Back to wrestling.
Yeah, back to wrestling. We got to pick some for Rumble, right?
Yes. Let's go ahead. I do want to quickly.
I get lost. What's the name of this pay-per-view coming up?
The pay-per-view is called Against All Odds.
Against All Odds. All
mm-hmm.
right.
All right. The first match is the James Gang versus the LAX, the Latin American Exchange.
Well, I would say that LAX has got to get it's their first shot out of the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then they kind of they got to win it, steal it somewhere, or go over. Let's say, you know, I pick them as to get their hands raised in some melee or a throw. I don't know. Yeah, let's give it to them.
I'm also going to go with that theory for the same reason. Team 3D versus Team Canada.
Team 3D. Oh.
The Dudleys.
Yeah,
oops,
right.
I mean the former Dudleys.
Yes. Yes, of course. versus Team Canada. Well, gosh, I don't know. I'd almost say Team Canada's got to steal that one a little bit. I mean,
do you think so?
Well, I don't know. And I don't know. See, they could have juggled the voting on that and put them with America's Most Wanted, right?
Right.
In a title situation, they did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I would kind of feel that they would stretch. Well, see here again. I'm going maybe you know too much old school logic in terms of booking. I would stretch this out a little bit so that make you hunger a little bit more for them to go after the titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just hope they don't do a 9,000 person run in. That's getting to be I think too much too.
Yeah.
I don't know on this one. I gosh.
Flip a coin, Les.
3D.
3D.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go with 3D. I think that they really got screwed over on the titles, and they need some momentum to go back after them. The next match is a Falls Count Anywhere match between Rhino and Abyss.
Wow. I think Abyss. I think he's got well. He lost to Sabu, right?
He lost to Sabu, yes.
Okay. Well, I think you got to give him some steam back here, you know. And these it does make sense. He's not a wrestler, right? He's a big brute, right? An animal or whatever. So like in the hardcore matches, Falls Count Anywhere matches, that should be, you know, like it's more freestyle, right? Not so much restricted by any type of rules, so that should be more in his ballpark.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I got to win one out of two, I think. I got to take Abyss.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go against you on this one. I'm going to have to take Rhino.
Okay.
Because Abyss did lose to Sabu. Abyss did
have your way.
Abyss did win his... I think Rhino needs to win a little bit more than Abyss does right now. That's why.
Okay.
The NWA World Tag Team Title Match. It's AMW versus the winner of the Tag Team Tournament, which could either be
Sanjay Dutt and Chris Sabin, or Aries and Strong?
I think America's Most Wanted retains whoever it is.
I do too, and I think it's going to be Aries and Strong.
Okay. I think that's.
Even though I'm happy to see that Sanjay Dutt...
They got some kind of story going in that direction, I think.
Right. Even though I'm happy to see that Sanjay Dutt and Saban won the first round matchup.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
AMW. Okay, we've got that. Let me write this down for you. AMW. We'll both go with those. TNA X Division title. It's going to be a three-way dance. Samoa Joe.
Styles
versus
and
Styles and Christopher Daniels.
Well, is the title on the line?
Title is on the
line.
Okay,
then Joe retains.
I'm going to go with Joe also because I think Styles and Daniels together in the same ring is going to cause some tension between those two, which I think is going to...
which Joe capitalizes on.
Exactly. Yep.
God, you're a good doctor.
All right, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Jeff Jarrett, the champion, versus Christian Cage. I'd love to see a title change here.
Well, Christian has got the credibility to be Sting's tag team partner when Sting comes back. If not that he's coming back in a tag team, but... I think you need to keep the stronger baby faces at the top, so I think Jarrett's got to retain. I won't say Jarrett wins. I say Jarrett retains the title. I mean, what I'm saying is, Christian could win on a DQ.
Okay.
On a disqualification or a count out or a throw out or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I see Jarrett hanging onto the strap.
I'm also going to say that Cage wins. Whether he wins the title or not, I think Cage is going to come out on top in this one.
Okay.
I think he really needs to. So that's going to wrap that up. It's TNA Against All Odds live on pay-per-view Sunday, February 12th at 8 Eastern. Check it out, guys. It's going to be a good one.
That's right. And then next week, I will be in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yep.
And I'll be doing the show from there. And, again, I want to reiterate, if you're an independent wrestler and you got the time, we're going to have a great time, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Again, the trainers that will be with me, Dr. Tom, of course, who is with EPWT anyway, but Tracy Smothers will be joining us for all 3 days, Terry Taylor, and Ricky Steamboat will be with us on Friday only.
Yeah.
And we've got some very good independent wrestlers coming in from around the country, some ladies.
Hot ladies.
Yeah, some promoters. Well, Doc, to you, they're all hot. What can I say? There's no such thing as a lukewarm lady.
Chrissy Bane is not hot. I mean,
of course
come
she
on.
Is. and Chrissy, that'll be her last independent appearances because she, I think it's going to Deep South. I'm not sure, but she signed a contract with WWE.
Yeah.
And, so Chrissy will be in the house with
us. So it's almost like a going away party for Chrissy, too.
Exactly, yeah.
Because, once she starts in WWE, I'm really not going to be able to get a hold of her after that.
I heard that. And maybe that's part of the deal now, too. I don't know.
It could be. I don't know.
We'll have to check it out. Anyway, yeah, but if you're so inclined, we'd love to have you. We're going to have two rings. Going all 3 days, and there's a show on Friday night and on Saturday night. So it's and like I say, if you're an independent wrestler, and you're in the training, you come for the training. Then High Spots is cutting everybody a discount across the board on everything in their store, and that's we'll be working out at their gym on Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
it's going to be a good one. Next week, also on the show, we've got Eric Young is scheduled to be one of our guests.
Okay, you got the dates right on this one, right?
Yes, we've got the dates right. Eric Young will be on the show. I guarantee it.
Cool.
I've never guaranteed it before.
Okay, well, and then we got Bill Watts coming up, Jim Kentner.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
Lots of guys. We're going to have to...
Lots of guys. I love lots of guys.
I love Lots of Guys. He's a great wrestler.
Chrissy Vane, if we ever get her on the phone.
Yes. Well, we've got a good lineup coming up for you guys in the next month. So, I mean, check us out, WrestlingWeekly.com. Join us in the chat room every week at 8 o'clock Eastern, and, you know, we'll have a good show for you.
And, and you can check my comings and goings at EPWT.com. You can contact me, Les, at EPWT.com.
Yep.
And, or Les Thatcher, well, you can't contact me there, but LesThatcher.com is also a website.
Yes, and they've got good personnel working for them over there at both those websites.
and don't forget the Professional Wrestler's Instructional and Workout Guide at your local bookstore.
Yes. All right, we're going to wrap things up, guys. Thanks for coming out. Also, thanks to Wrestle Talk Radio for their help tonight. Don't forget to check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com. They've got it all over there
and
at Obsessed
with
Wrestling.
And check back with us next week to see if Doc beat me in the picks of the week for the pay-per-view.
Once again, we'll see if I won. Oh, you've only won one time so far. I'm pretty far ahead of you.
We're on against SmackDown, or no, against Raw next week.
We're on against Raw next week, yes.
Yeah. Well, we can always watch that and talk, too.
Yeah, we will do that. We will go ahead and talk about Raw.
Yeah, so, I mean, anybody that's, you know, checking us, you know, I mean.
We'll talk about Raw as it's going on.
There you go.
So, we'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to join us 8 Eastern. Wrestling Weekly is a member and a part of the Wrestling Media Network. Check them out at WrestlingMediaNetwork.com. Also, RadioWrestling.net. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
We're out of here.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us next Thursday from 8 to 10 Eastern here on www.wrestlingweekly.com.